What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really? Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to Workforce Trends, the talk radio show that keeps business leaders and journalists in the know about what's happening in America's workplace. Today's show is sponsored by Success Performance Solutions, experts in matching the right employees to the right jobs. And here's your host for today's show, Ira Wolf.
And good morning, this first Wednesday in October. And welcome to this week's Workforce Trends Block Talk Radio. We've been off the air for a few weeks. I've been doing a lot of traveling, and just was a little challenging meeting up with some guests and doing it from airports and in the air. So it's good to be back. Beginning of a beautiful day on the East Coast here. Sun's out, cool weather, no rain for a change. So it's ideal. We're going to be talking today, like we do every week, with some industry thought leaders about trends that are affecting the way we do business. One of the hot topics is certainly social media, and we're going to take a little angle on that today. We're going to be talking about what employers need to know about protecting intellectual property. We're living in a world where the law and social media are really on a collision course. Let me give you one example. Did some research last night in preparation for today. Imagine that you are a recruiter or someone in HR, or you're in sales, or you're in marketing. You know, part of your job is obviously building a network, a database. In the past, that was something that was always considered whose property was that, whose clients are there. Non-competes, non-disclosures played a big part of that, but it's been really complicated by some of the online networking. So after you're in the job for a few days or a few weeks, a few months, you find out about LinkedIn, you sign up using a personal name, you start inviting a network, you build a pretty large connection base. It could be hundreds, it could even be thousands of people, and then with the 3 degrees of separation, you can literally have a reach of millions and millions of people. Your company, however, then starts reimbursing you as a paid account. For whatever reason, either they're doing or you're doing, you leave the company. And then the employer demands that you turn over the LinkedIn profile. You know, what are they entitled to? Are they entitled to the database because they paid for it? Were they entitled because you were employed by them? How? And from an employer side, who actually owns all those connections that were built up? So today, we're going to. My guest is Eric Pelton. Eric is the founder of Eric M. Pelton and Associates, and we're going to be talking about intellectual property and how an employer can protect it and what employees and employers should know. So, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Cyrus. Pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah. Eric and I met just a few weeks ago. He was on a panel, and I was on another panel at Harrisburg University. Some of you may have heard about that in the news, not from our panel, although the videotapes are live. The panels were recorded, and I highly recommend everybody go to Harrisburg University. I believe it's Eric, do you remember what the URL is? I can look it up here. Well, you know,
yeah, it's one of those things I don't remember. I know if you Google it, it'll
yeah,
come up, though.
But it's, if you just Google Harrisburg University social media, I'm sure it'll come up, because what they did was they had a blackout for the week before. They wanted to see how connected we really are and what would happen if the educators and the administrators and the students didn't use social media for 1 week. So that's the part that made national news. They haven't released the findings yet, but I know we were just notified the other day that it was on M. SNBC. I know it's been on CNN. It really made a lot of the press. So keep an eye on that. Interesting little school, science and technology, just started a few years ago. Wonderful facility, and Eric and I happened to meet there. But Eric, let's go back to talking about the example I gave. How you right before we got on the call, you said there's a bunch of other horror stories too. But I think this LinkedIn story is going to be a norm because there's 70 million users on it. Recruiters heavily use it, and I know a lot of sales and marketing people who do as well.
Yeah, that example serves as a great backdrop for our discussion today and of the issues related to social media content and intellectual property, particularly for employers and employees. And the two key things that I would draw from that and that really apply to everything in the subject matter is get it in writing, and that would apply to any kind of employment agreement or subcontractor agreement between the employer and the employee or contractor, or if not an employment agreement, a social media or communications policy that could supplement an agreement. And
so when you say in writing, you're talking about who owns the list?
What the company's policies are for both using all of those, any type of social media and communications tools on-site or off-site, as well as who owns that content. If it's clearly in writing that the employer owns the content and the employee has agreed to that, or works under those policies that have been posted and notified, then there really isn't much of an issue. It really answers the question before it's a problem. And the second issue would be as a user or as an employer that's encouraging employees to use these media, know what the terms of use say. It's a chore and it's laborious and it's boring to read and take in all of these lengthy terms of use for each of these sites, but make sure you're aware of what you're agreeing to. And, in particularly when it comes to intellectual property, not only will the account have some terms, perhaps over the individual user versus the employer owning the content, but also as to what the site, what the content network can redistribute or do with that content. So in addition to this dispute over the employer or employee owning the content, there's a potential dispute over LinkedIn owning all of that content as well, or at least having an unlimited license to do whatever it wants with that content. And all of these, this same type of situation could easily arise on Facebook, on Twitter, on a company blog post, hosted either on the company's website or through WordPress or through some blogger or through any network, really. These issues are prevalent these days.
And I guess, one is talking about the employers. Certainly if they're paying for the account, they can end the account. And one of the things that was brought up in this, and I don't know if it was a case or just a situation, where they said that the employer, let me just read this, after the employee left, the company demanded ownership of the LinkedIn profile. And they're not asking for the database of the connections. They're asking for his username and password, which the company believes has ownership for, which tends to stay within what the LinkedIn says, is that that LinkedIn account belongs to the individual member along with any content that's created. So LinkedIn says it's the right of the employee, it belongs to the whoever signed up for the account, regardless of who pays for it. But the law is saying, I guess especially if it's spelled out in an agreement, that the employee can they maintain those connections? Can they not? I mean, it seems to be a pretty big a conflict here of what the sites are saying and what the law is allowing.
Yes, I agree. And, I agree that by default, whoever creates the account is going to own the login and own it. That, from the LinkedIn's point of view, that's obviously the easiest and most straightforward policy. If they had a more complicated policy, it would open them up to all sorts of questions. But if this individual, if their employer had an agreement that said clearly, we're supporting you creating this account, you're doing it on work time, on work equipment, and, you know, if there's any fees, work is paying for it, that we own, that basically you've assigned your rights from LinkedIn over to us in that account, then I think there would be no issue. That the employer would clearly have control over the account. And it's quite possible that even without, you know, an explicit agreement covering social media, just by the nature of an employer-employee relationship, if that person was a full-time employee, that the account, you know, or at least everything that happened to the account, if not the account itself, would belong to the employer. Now, if they're a subcontractor, and they're not full-time, and they don't work on-site, that makes things even more complicated, and there's more gray area, because the intellectual property created by a subcontractor may be owned by the subcontractor unless it's explicitly put in writing. That's under the work-for-hire doctrines.
So your advice to, I mean, for an employer, obviously having an employee in an agreement of what's theirs and what's the employer's and what's the employee's, what rights are taken. But from one of the things that was advised in this article that I was reading was that the employee or the recruiter or the salesperson or the marketer, whoever it might be, they use their personal email address, not a company one, as their primary LinkedIn contact information. And also to keep, in order to keep their connections portable, which is interesting, was that they should, have a separate list of their personal accounts and their business accounts. And I'm not sure how exactly you do that, but that was the advice that was given. The portability to me sounded interesting. I guess that goes back to what's the agreement, and if there's rules to be bent, they probably will be, and I guess that's what keeps you in business.
Fortunately and unfortunately, I guess. I think the bottom line, let's presume that there are no real agreements, because I would say probably 95% of companies today don't have policies, don't have written employee agreements or policies that cover these issues specifically. But I think if I were a judge or if I were a arbitrator looking at this issue, I would say, what was the primary purpose of this account? If the primary purpose of the account was to make contacts and generate business and promote the employer's business, then I think that you draw, you know, the inferences in favor of the employer, and the employer probably owns it. If it was, you know, a account perhaps created somewhat on work time or somewhat on work resources, but was your standard LinkedIn account that was more personal in nature, here's my resume, here's the people I went to college with and high school with and people I bumped into at X and Y event, you know, then it probably belongs to the person, and, you know, and there's nothing that really connects the substance of it, the purpose of it, to the workplace. So I would look at what the purpose of it is. If the purpose of it is for work, then the employee should also take care to make it separate from whatever employee account or employee purpose they want to use that social media site for, because it's pretty clear that this is something that is for your employer, and that in the end of the day, you may not be with the employer forever, and the account may live on without you.
Right, and this isn't really anything that's new. In the past, I mean, the concern was always with salespeople. They had a bunch of contacts. They had relationships built up with people. When they left, non-competes were put in place to prevent them from calling on those customers. The reality is after a year and the non-compete wore up, they can go out and connect with everybody. So you actually owned the names of the people and the list and the relationship. You obviously owned the relationship. but you know, you could be prevented from connecting with those people or doing business with those people. But this isn't new. Social media has just made it's just taken it beyond employers having to worry about just salespeople and operations people understanding what's going on. It opened it up to everyone. Now has the ability to do this. Yeah. Which also brought up, kind of leads into another topic. Let's kind of move on with that. Is the information. Now everyone can post information. Everyone could, in the past, if you had a complaint about your employer, if you wanted to share some information, you might do it one-on-one. It might leak out. But the spread of information was slow. And if it was spread, it was done one at a time. Now all you need to do is, you know, either intentionally or unintentionally post something of confidential information or something that violates policy to a blog, to a tweet, to on Facebook, and or even share it with somebody else, and they share it. And, you know, the growth or the spread is, you know, is viral, as we say in the digital world. It just goes crazy. So what are some of the, some of the things that employers need to be cautious of? And I'm sure it goes back to having agreements and policies in place, which most don't yet. But what are some of the things to protect them from, having confidential information or just policies violated by even innocently by employees?
Yeah. And I'll throw in there before I work on an answer, I'll throw in, you know, it could be that the employee is infringing intellectual property in posts or content. It could be that they're, making inappropriate comments about the competition or inappropriate comments about the products that may be regulated by, FDA or NIH or other, government regulations about what you can and can't say about products or fair advertising and competition laws. So there are, there is practically an endless amount of exposed liability. It's really, like you were saying, it's really nothing that hasn't existed before. It's just that it's at our fingertips. It happens so much more quickly and so much easier that it's harder to rein in. And that's why a company should have a policy in writing that every company agrees to, that every employee, agrees to by signing, and that addresses these issues. What types of accounts are we going to have? Who's going to be in charge of those accounts? What are the types of content that we will use those accounts for? What are the types of things that we explicitly don't want those accounts used for? And then even cover, what employees can do or say in their own accounts, because obviously you can't stop your employee from in their own time having their own account and identifying that they work for you. But if you're trying to control the message, the company may not want the employee spreading the news about the upcoming summit, that is being hosted, even though publicity of that would be good, but you want the message to be controlled and you want to ensure that it meets all of your guidelines for properly using the company's intellectual property and for, properly identifying the source of the information. So all of these issues can be dealt with, of course, having it in writing and having some trust and some reasonableness, understanding that this is going to go on and that your employees probably know more about how to do it and what's going on in these social media worlds than you, the employer, does, I think is logical as well. So, creating a policy and establishing a dialogue so that the employees understand what the company's goals are and so that the employer can perhaps have a point person to respond to inquiries or questions from employees that might arise regarding what can and can't be done are all good ideas, really aren't terribly burdensome or expensive to set up and put in place, and really are great insurance for preventing these problems or having an answer if these problems arise, because unfortunately you can't prevent everything.
No, I was just going to say, as we're talking, I'm just thinking of so many different instances, and having a policy that covers everything is impossible. But having some policies in place is absolutely necessary. And one of the things that you kind of inferred here was to educate the employees. And I know a lot of companies, a lot of the clients and people in the audiences that I speak with, their approach is that, well, we just block all these things. And I don't think they realize, especially with the example of this LinkedIn, they're not going to block, they can't block people from using LinkedIn at home or Facebook at home. The policies that they have don't even cover that. But one of the things that I found of great value was with employers, rather than trying to block all this, is teach employees how to manage it, how to use it correctly. What are the right or wrong ways to do it? And one of the areas has been with Facebook, because, employees, whether they're using it for business or not, are being more connected. Even older workers, which is the fastest growing population using Facebook, they're jumping on, and they don't really understand the privacy settings. They don't understand how they can protect themselves. So one of the ways that I found that's helping employees and the employers as well as an indirect benefit is if they teach the employees how to use the sites, how to protect their own privacy. In a way, they're transferring that to protect the employer's rights as well. So it doesn't become just employer-centric. It becomes, we're offering this benefit to you. We want you to be able to utilize these sites for your personal reasons, but be safe when you're doing it. So I think there's a valuable lesson in that. We just have about 9 minutes left, Eric. I want to hit on one other topic, which doesn't necessarily relate to employer-employee relationships, but certainly has to do with business owners protecting their privacy. I mentioned this before we got on the phone. There was about using screen and username intellectual property infringement. The example that I happened to bring up was that, on Facebook and Twitter and even LinkedIn, actually any of these sites, that you can create a username and you can actually create a URL for a domain name. So businesses are there's millions of business pages that have now been created on sites like Facebook, and that they have a unique URL. So one example that I was reading about was www.facebook.com/Nike Shoes. Believe it or not, it's not owned by Nike. Nike owns the /Nike URL, but they don't own the Nike Shoes. And the Nike Shoes has, I looked it up before, almost 100,000 followers to it. How can businesses protect, and what rights are there for them to protect other people from using their registered names, their fictitious names, their corporate names, their trademarks, their copyrights?
Yeah, great question. Great example of the power of the social media that this Nike Shoes username could get so many fans, probably due in part to coverage of this issue, this dispute with Nike. But
I just want to say, one of the things, probably the biggest case like that, is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's Facebook site was not started by Coca-Cola. It was started by two guys, and they ended up with 2 million visitors, and they did work out an arrangement that these guys actually run the Coca-Cola site for them. But,
wow.
These two guys just started it and, created a huge presence for them. And it was so big that they couldn't shut them down, so they actually hired them to run the site. But new game in town.
Yeah. And so the first thing that any company should do is make a list of its brand names and go out and register as many on as many sites as is reasonable. Certainly the top 5 or 10 social media sites, register all of their brand names as usernames. Even if they're not planning to use it, then they've got a better grasp on preventing somebody else from using it without their permission. Of course, it may already be too late for that for some of them, and you can't register every variation. Nike shoes is a good example. I mean, you could have Nike golf, Nike football, Nike baseball, Nike shirts, Nike jackets. You know, it wouldn't be feasible for them to think of or register every single variation out there. So you have to draw the line somewhere. There are services that will help you do this, sort of both search for what's available and even register what's available in mass for fees that are pretty reasonable from what I've seen. So after doing that, you know, the next step is to identify those important brand names and make sure that the trademarks are protected, are registered, because should you need to make a complaint to Facebook or to Twitter or to LinkedIn about a username, having a registered trademark makes it exponentially simpler and cleaner and faster and less expensive. And we've done this successfully for several clients on Facebook and on Twitter, similar to domain name infringements, where you know, they have a complaint procedure in place, and you simply provide the information and provide the registered trademark information, and even if we can, you know, attach or mail them a copy of the trademark registration certificate, that goes a long way in getting their attention and cooperation. The next step after that, you know, is deciding whether or not you want to contact the owner of the account or the username and, you know, request it back from them. And if it's logical to make a, you know, assertion that there may be follow-up issues if they don't respond back and comply with your demands. Now, part of that strategy depends on what the username is being used for. If it's not being used in a way that competes with your product, it may be a legitimate use, or it may be a use that's not a trademark infringement and you may not be able to get it back. If it's a way, you know, if it's clearly referencing your brand or complaining about your brand or a competitor that registered it just to try to drive a little extra traffic to its site, then you very well could have a good case if you have to go forward with it. Obviously, that's just, you know, generally the last option because it's the most complex and the most expensive going forward with some sort of lawsuit or more formal dispute.
Right. Yeah, certainly complex. And in this case, it was Nike is actually a registered trademark. However, Nike shoes itself was not, but it was implied. But as you mentioned, there's a whole host of other variations, and you know, tracking them all down, you know, being aware of that, and you know, sometimes people just look at it. If they're doing it in a supportive way, then it's just more publicity for Nike. It's more of a fan club type of a thing. Hey, Eric, we just have about 2 minutes left. I want to give you probably raised more questions for me. I'd love to have you back at some point, but in the meantime, I know you blog. I know you're out there speaking. How can people get in contact with you if they have questions, or how can they follow you and see what advice you've already, you know, offered?
Thanks, Ira. Yeah, the half hour sure went by fast, and I'd be glad to come back anytime to discuss these or other issues. People can find me, you know, the easiest way is just search my name, Eric, E-R-I-K, Pelton, P-E-L-T-O-N. My main website is TM, as in trademark, the number 4, small biz, SmallBiz.com, and I've also got that username, TM4SmallBiz, on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, I believe, all secured and pointing to me, let's hope. And they can find some videos of presentations I've given at ericpelton.tv. And like I said, through all of those sites, you can find connections to all my other activities online.
Yeah, excellent. And I what I would do is I would also go to look up the Harrisburg University Social Media Summit, and there is a video of Eric's presentation, and also mine. I I basically closed the day, my presentation, and we were talking about how social media was affecting the panelists, but you were talking about the intellectual property in the morning. So, again, Eric, thanks very much. I appreciate you taking some time out and definitely would like to have you back. There's a number of other topics we talked about that didn't even get into how do you protect your articles and material that you put out there and so forth, but offered some great advice. For everyone listening, I will be back next week, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Workforce Trends Blog Talk Radio. And quote of the day of closing, the purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, to have to make some difference that you have lived and lived well. That's by Ralph Waldo Emerson. For the rest of the week, have a good one, everyone, and we'll see you next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
I say it's blue, I say it's green. Why do we never agree? We say the same thing
in different words.
Our arguments become absurd.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne, long-time listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At MetroPCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really? Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to MetroPCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figure it out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.